Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Three, two, one. Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. We are recording. I'm Lee Brekeen, your host. We're going to have a great show today. This is going to be a show where I'm just going to talk a lot of stuff that people might love to talk about. You know, we're going to have different topics today. There's a lot going on. We're going to talk about opt-outs, and I've got some life-changing experiences to share with our listening audience. I can't give out the parents' names or the kids' names, but I think it's important to share what these young men that just got out of high school, especially that are 18 years old, going to college and what they had to deal with COVID-19, being away from their families, some an hour away, up to 12 hours away. And I'm going to kind of explain that a little bit more, where people get a better idea from a standpoint of the parents of what mentally this did to their kids during this time of trying to play football. Things that you don't think about outside of football. We're also going to talk about LSU basketball. We're going to talk about the New Orleans Saints. We're going to talk about possible coaches at LSU again. We're going to talk about the NFL a little bit. The Heisman Trophy. Talk about Scottie Pippen Jr. Remember Scottie Pippen with the Chicago Bulls? Talk about his son. He's phenomenal. At Vanderbilt, by the way. And on Friday, we're going to have Coach David Oliver from Sanibel High School in Baton Rouge. He used to be a Tulane coach, by the way, and a Southern University college coach. That's what brought him to Louisiana. Now he's at Sanibel. David Oliver, one of the top offensive line coaches, by the way, in high school football in Louisiana. He is as astute as anybody coaching offensive line in Louisiana for a high school. I mean, here's a guy that coached 20 years of college ball as an offensive line coach. He's 6'5". Played college ball. Big Denver Broncos fan. We'll have David on Friday of this week. It'll be interesting. We're going to talk about the Alabama-Florida basketball game and how that relates to LSU. We're also going to talk about Pete Golden, the D coordinator at Alabama, who's from Hammond, Louisiana, and why LSU should go after him. Let's start with that. So let me tell everybody who's listening, if you don't know who Pete Golding is, you might know he's the Alabama defensive coordinator. But most people don't know that Pete Golding is from Hammond, Louisiana. Born and raised in Louisiana, South Louisiana. And I've always wondered, why would you not go after one of the best young defensive coordinators in the country, especially a Louisiana native? I met Pete Golding back when he was at a D3 college trying to sign recruits from Louisiana with no financial aid. Private school money that costs $10,000 to $15,000 a year to go to schools like Millsaps or Belhaven or Mississippi College. Or Delta State. Those are some of the schools that Pete Golden was coaching against, and that's the level of coaching he was at to begin with. But if I was Ed Orgeron, why not steal a coach from Alabama? Why not go after Louisiana's best young D coordinator in Pete Golding? People would say, well, he wouldn't leave Alabama. How do you know? He might. Pete Golding grew up in Louisiana. He's one of us. He's a Louisiana guy. And on top of that, he grew up from Baton Rouge, an hour from Baton Rouge. Young coach in his 30s. And I think he's done a great job at Alabama. Why not hire Pete Golding? That's who I would hire. If you want a Louisiana guy that probably would care about LSU, and he's only at Alabama because that's who hired him. I mean, that's who Saban found him. Nobody, LSU wasn't recruiting Pete Golden to be a coach when he started out. I just want to throw that to my listening audience. I think Pete Golden would be great at LSU. Pete Golden's not going to be a head coach in the next 2 years. If they get Marcus Freeman from Cincinnati, he's going to want to be a head coach. They could lose Marcus Freeman in 1 year. You're not building long-term if you get a guy 1 year. Then you got to start all over again, because if LSU has a great year in 2021, then Marcus Freeman would be up for some head coaching jobs. And you would have to go get another D coordinator after 1 year. Take that in. I want a D coordinator I can keep at least 3 years, maybe 5 years. That would be Pete Golding. Why go get a guy who's at Arkansas, who's been fired at Missouri and, you know, had 1 good year at Arkansas? One, and, you know, they didn't finish strong, but they played hard. Got to give them that, right, the Razorbacks. Why just chase the coaches that are in the news, you know, the big names? Well, heck, try and steal a coach from Nick Saban. Try and take one of his people. And you know what? They might interview Pete Golden. I have no idea. I hope they went after him. Being that he's a Hammond guy from Hammond, Louisiana, which is an hour from Baton Rouge. You know, Rob Sell, who's at ULL College right now, is the offense coordinator that played at LSU as an offensive lineman, who I know went to Neville High School in Monroe, was an offensive guard at LSU under Nick Saban. Who's one of the best? He's a really good offensive mind. He played O-line. Now he's the offensive coordinator at ULL. Rob Sell turned down a job from Nick Saban to stay at ULL 2 years ago because he wanted to be in Louisiana. I really have a lot of respect for Rob. His family's from Louisiana. Rob's family, his in-laws are from Louisiana. And Nick offered him a ton of money to go to Alabama, to leave ULL. Not to be a coordinator, but to make more money with a lesser position as the O-line coach. And he turned it down. He didn't let money decide his future. But I just want to share that with everybody. That was our first topic today of the coordinator for LSU. Why not go after Kirby? Why not take a coach from Nick Saban and Pete Golding? And I bet you 90% of the people listening to the show did not know Pete Golding was from Hammond, Louisiana. And I know some people listening do. But that would have been my number one choice, to try and hire Pete Golding. And you know what? Maybe he'll be the guy. I don't know. Maybe behind the scenes they did interview him. But I would hope they did, being that he's from an hour from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, an hour from Tiger Stadium, where he grew up. And he's a young coach that's not going to be a head coach for at least another 3 years. We're going to go take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about our other topics. We got the Saints. We're going to talk about the Saints and the Bears matchup. Oh, my goodness. They can't lose to the Bears. And we're going to talk about LSU basketball. We're going to talk about Alabama, Florida basketball. We're going to talk a lot of stuff. Talk about the Heisman Trophy. And give you my take on the national championship game next week. I'm picking Ohio State. Yeah, I'm picking Ohio State to win this one. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I am Lee Burkeen, your host. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back, everyone. This is Lee Burkeen, your host. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. This segment, our topic is going to be the Heisman Trophy. Man, that's a great time when you see someone win the Heisman. And it's a Louisiana native, Devontae Smith from Amite, Louisiana, and Alabama. It's very hard for a lot of LSU fans to see this kid win it because he played at Alabama. I'm happy for kids. I mean, kids are kids. But it's really, really hard for a lot of LSU fans to see a kid from Amy, Louisiana, walk across the stage and win the Heisman. You know what's really crazy? Is that the best wide receiver in 2019 was Ja'Marr Chase from Archbishop Romo High School in LSU. He had the greatest season ever, and I still think it was greater than Devontae Smith's. Can you imagine if Ja'Marr Chase would have came back this year and played and not opted out? He could have had a phenomenal year again, and based on what he did last year, if he would have had a – and he would have had a great year. Ja'Marr is phenomenal. People can say, oh, he wouldn't have had the quarterback, and he would have not got the stats. No, LSU threw for over 3,500 yards this year. He would have had a lot of that. He was money, man. You throw in the ball down the field, you throw it, you know, in the end zone, you throw it the corner of the end zone, you throw it in, you know, out routes. He was money. Can you imagine Ja'Marr Chase playing football this year, being the best receiver? Can you imagine Ja'Marr Chase going to the Heisman Trophy ceremony with Devontae Smith? And now Devontae Smith's probably going to go above Ja'Marr Chase in the draft. And if you are the first receiver taken in the NFL draft, you probably won't be – they probably won't take their second receiver until after the seventh or eighth pick. That means that Devontae Smith might have made $50 million this year. Moving up in the draft, coming back, not going pro, and then Ja'Marr Chase sits out, and he'll still be a millionaire, but he lost millions by Devontae Smith probably jumping him in the draft. That's something to think about for kids listening to the show. That's what happens when you don't play your junior year. Somebody can, and I said this on the podcast 4 months ago, I said, somebody's going to pass him up. There's too many good receivers out there. And if you get passed up in the first round as a receiver, usually only three receivers go in the first round, maybe two. And the best receiver goes in the first five picks, three picks, and then the next one goes maybe by pick nine or ten. That's a big difference. That's $50 million compared to about $10, $12 million. It's a big difference. Now, Ja'Marr Chase is still going to be a first-round pick, but my point is you probably lost somewhere around $25 or $30 million possibly by not playing your junior year. And this leads me to what I wanted to talk about at the beginning of the show about Corona-19 and the virus and playing sports this year. I've had a chance to talk to a lot of parents. And I know a lot of parents of athletes that play Division I football and baseball at major universities, some that we know of in Louisiana. And I want to share that when we come back. I want to share some stories. I can't mention names. I can't mention the names of the kids or the parents because I'm loyal and I'm not going to do that, and they don't want me to. But I'm going to mention stories from parents, so people can understand what these kids went through, like the rest of the human beings on this planet with COVID-19, with having to deal with sports for these 18-year-old kids. And I'm talking about 18-year-old. I'm going to share two stories of kids that had to go to colleges during this at 18 years of age and the life they had to live during this and what it's like to be an 18-year-old and be a parent of an 18-year-old. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about that. We're going to talk about the Saints and much, much more. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I am Lieber King. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I am your host, Lee Burkeen. And the topic that I started the last segment is about teenagers coping with COVID-19 while playing college athletics as a true freshman. I had a chance to talk to a couple of parents this past week, a couple of friends of mine, that their kids are college athletes at colleges, and their kids were both freshmen this year. And they shared with me a perspective that you don't even think about. Sports fans think about wins and losses. They get emotional. They get upset. They get upset at kids that leave. And I've even pointed it out. But when you're going to hear some of the things I'm going to mention on the show, from a parent's perspective, I think people wouldn't be mad anymore. Well, any normal person would not be upset. But the kids that were in the 220 class, recruiting class, the incoming freshmen that played this year for football and baseball. Baseball didn't play very long, but you know what I mean, this past year for baseball and football. One parent told me, imagine your kid being at a college campus 2 or 3 hours from home at 18, never being away from home in their life. And as soon as they get to campus, it's locked down. No social gatherings. No nothing. Locked in your apartment or your dorm. Isolated from everybody. And you're supposed to be a 30-year-old. It's not happening. You're 18. You're 2 hours from home. You're an hour from home. You're 5 hours from home. You're 10 hours from home. Some kids are 12 hours from home. They're 18, 19-year-old kids. And both parents told me that because of COVID-19, they had to isolate where they couldn't even be around people to talk to. And you know, you're talking about an 18, 19-year-old kid. Someone trying to figure out life. And you put them on the road away from their family and their friends. You can't even have team gatherings. One school, one parent told me that they only had one team gathering as a social in 8 months. And that their kid, the rest of those 8 months, was basically isolated in his apartment on campus. That's not normal for an 18, 19-year-old kid that's trying to figure out life. They're not 30 or like me. I'm 50 years old. We can handle it and go through it. We can mentally go through it. But the mental part of this was so hard on these kids, especially a freshman. And that reverts back to Eric Gilbert, the tight end at LSU. But I hope Eric Gilbert, when he clears his head in Atlanta, Georgia, now that he's home, realizes that's the way it was going to be at every college, that everything was the same in the United States. Everything was basically a lockdown for these kids, being away from home. And it definitely affected him, like everybody else. And I think, if you played college football this year, and I'm just going to talk about football, and you didn't opt out and you didn't stop practicing and you hung through this, being away from your family, being a kid, with no social gatherings, nobody to talk to almost, unless you went to practice, I think they should letter all the kids that stuck it out. Because this was not a normal time to play football. But I think these coaches should do something for the kids legally to show the appreciation that they did not give up. If there was 40 or 50 kids at LSU out of 85 scholarships that started off, those 50 kids, including the walk-ons, I think should be honored. This is not a participation trophy. This is a whole different animal. These are kids that did not go back home to their families that were having trouble during this time. They did not quit. They did not let it, they got through it. And I mean, this is hard for kids. Again, the word kids, they're not adults. And I think the sports world sometimes looks at, okay, they're not playing very well. Well, this did affect every college. And it's affected mentally all these kids. Now, some colleges handled it differently internally, and I think they were able to keep a lot of their kids. But just like an example with LSU, there are 50 players that stuck it out. Being away from their families, with their families having difficulties because of this. A lot of families, people lost their jobs. And these kids are out of town playing college ball, trying to make friends. They're not even around their new friends. They're around no one. They're isolated in an apartment or a dorm. But it's a whole different world when you look at the perspective of a parent of a kid. And a lot of these kids, from talking to both of the parents that I talked to, one kid was an honor student in high school. And actually, his grades suffered. Like many college athletes, their grades suffered during COVID-19. Trying to balance schoolwork, football, and getting through COVID mentally. So if anybody goes on the internet and bashes kids or takes personal, you know, bashing toward players, you should understand that what these families are going through is not just about football. It's about life. And when you talk to a parent of a kid, you get a perspective that it's more than just football. You know, bash the coach. You know, bash the program. Don't bash the kid. It's a kid. It's an 18, 19-year-old kid. And some of them that are older, they're 22, unless it's the punter, right? Van Vossenberg, he was like 30, right? 31. We're going to take a break when we come back. We're going to talk about the New Orleans Saints and the Chicago Bears. The Saints can't lose to the Bears. They can't. This will haunt fans forever if they lost to the Bears after losing to the Rams in that crazy play and losing to the Vikings. Remember that crazy play in the playoffs? The Saints cannot lose to the Bears. And I'm worried about the game. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. I hope you're enjoying the show. This segment, we're going to talk about the New Orleans Saints and the playoff game against the Chicago Bears. The Saints will be playing their wild card game. They won their division. The Saints had a great year considering all the injuries to Drew Brees and a lot of players that got hurt and were able to come back. Kovic opt-outs, they won their last game with a receiver playing running back. I've never seen that before. I've never seen a receiver play running back. First game to play running back and have 100 yards rushing for the Saints. Before we get started with the Saints, I want to talk about our great sponsor, John Harvey Toyota. So, hey, guys, I just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota and Harvey Subaru and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people. Tell them Lee sent you. Great people. Support them if you're thinking of buying a vehicle, new or used. Tommy Harvey does a great job, the owner, big sports fan, a fan of Louisiana high school and college athletics. The New Orleans Saints has had many years like this one. where they finished with 11 wins and 12 wins or 10 wins and they get in the playoffs and they play a team they're not supposed to lose to and they lose. Or they get to the NFC Championship game and they have some bad luck like against the Rams or the Vikings. Well, this is a game they're supposed to win. That's why it scares me. I'm very scared of the Bears because they're starting a quarterback by the name of Mitch Trubisky, who they benched for most of the season because Nick Foles got hurt. Nick Foles came over from the Eagles where he won a Super Bowl, and Nick Foles gets hurt, and they have to go back to Mitch Trubisky. They had no choice, and guess what? He's gotten hot. Trubisky won the games and got him in the playoffs, and the Bears have a really good defense, and they've got an unpredictable offense. That is scary. Trubisky has got talent, and if he's feeling it and he's got confidence, then they're a different team. And I just hope the Saints can beat them. I think it'll be a close game because Kamara didn't play this past week. Michael Thomas has been out for a long time. He's rusty, and hopefully they'll get those guys back for the Bears. And even if they do, will they have the chemistry? And Breeze is just now getting back into his groove on timing. He had been out for a while. But at least the defense is kind of healthy. I hated to see Quan Alexander go out for the year. But the Bears are going to be a problem. Even though it's going to be in the Superdome, there's no fans hardly. You don't have the home field advantage. And that's what the Saints rely on for juice. Every year they're in the playoffs. What's the use of having a home game if you don't have hardly any fans? There's no advantage. That's something to keep an eye on. The Bears don't have to deal with 70,000 screaming Saints fans. And I'm really worried about this game because everybody thinks it's going to be a breeze. No pun intended, Drew Brees, but this is going to be a tough game. The Bears have a good defense. And now they have a quarterback in Mitch Trubisky who's starting to believe in his skills again. He's starting to believe in what he can do because he was benched for the whole year, and this was his final chance. And they're a very unpredictable offense. Their defense is very good. They've got some men on that defense. They've got some very good. And look, by the way, Barcavius Mingo from LSU is on that defense with a quietly 40 tackles on the year from West Monroe High School. 6'4", 245-pound linebacker who's had a great year for the Bears. And look, I can't even imagine if the Saints were to lose this game, what it would be like for the fans after what happened in Minnesota and at home against the Rams. And the Bears actually cost the Saints a Super Bowl several years ago, if you remember, at Soldier Field when it was about 20 degrees. And the Saints lost a close game to the Bears, and the Bears went to the Super Bowl. Remember that? They've been a spoiler. This is not going to be an easy game. The Bears are upset. Everybody thinks they're going to lose. That's the greatest thing that can happen to the Bears coaching staff. And this is a Bears team that won their first six games of the season. They were 6-0. Very concerned for the Saints with this game. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about LSU basketball and kind of measure where they are because I watched the Alabama Florida game, and LSU had lost to Florida, and then Alabama beat Florida by over 20 points last night. Kind of gives you an idea where LSU is down low in the post, and Alabama dominated Florida in the post. Shut them down low. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I am Lee Burkeen.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Burkeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Brekeen, your host. I want to mention in this segment about walk-ons for colleges. If you're a parent out there listening to this show in Louisiana or anywhere in the state or anywhere in the country, or you're a listener with no kids playing sports, you just like football or baseball, there's nothing wrong with walking on to a college. And let me say that again. There's nothing wrong with walking on to a college to play athletics. You will be a hero, and you will be remembered if you play for a university as a walk-on and you finish. If it's USL, which is now ULL, or it's LSU, or it's Tulane, or it's McNeese, or it's ULM of Monroe, or it's Louisiana Tech, or Southern University, or Louisiana College, or Grambling College, or Northwestern State, if you walk onto a program and you finish and you never play a down, the connections that you meet, the people you meet, the fans will know who you are forever. You'll be a hero among those alumni. And LSU has an alumni base of, what, 5 or 6 million people that are diehards? Tulane's probably got over a half a million to a million diehard alumni all over the country. Louisiana Tech, Northwestern State, Southeastern, all these schools. And most people don't like the sound of walk-on. But if you walk on to a college, you have all these possibilities to gain. And the one main thing, you can become a college coach. Instead of trying to become a college coach without playing college football. Most walk-ons bust their tail in practice and want to be a coach, and they learn. They never play a down. And those college coaches will hire them as grad assistants when they're done if they do their what they're supposed to do, and they're looked at as leaders, as high-character people, and obviously having like in a coaching, some kind of coaching potential. And you can go as a walk-on, finish at a college and become a grad assistant and then get your master's degree and then end up making big money within 5 years. Or you can walk on to a college, play within 2 or 3 years, play special teams or whatever, and you got a job for life with some alumnus from that college. They know that you played football at that school and they'll hire you. That it carries a lot of weight. It'll carry as much weight as going to Harvard College if you're from Louisiana. Or it's the experience of hard work to go to a college and hang in there and have an 18-hour day. It's an 18 to 17-hour day for a college student athlete. When you look at tutor classes, practice, film classes, meetings, working out, and school, it's a 17 to 18-hour day. Think about that. But walking on, I think, is a great thing to do. And it's better than it used to be. Here's the other thing. Because of the COVID-19, because of the transfer portal, colleges are getting down to 50 players, some of them 45 players on scholarship by November. If you're a walk-on, you can play now. If you show that you can play at that level and walk on, you will eventually get to play now because colleges are hurting for numbers. And if I'm LSU, I'm signing the best walk-on class I've ever signed in my life. Because, A, there's less scholarships this year for kids to sign out of high school because kids can come back and get an extra year. And that means there's going to be less scholarships for state colleges. That means LSU can pick from a lot of kids who don't want to leave the state. So Ed Orgeron and his staff, if they need help, they need to call me. I can give them all those guys. They're the only school I don't talk to personally, but I send emails to their staff of tapes that we do. I work with all the other schools. And I would love to help LSU with a lot of the walk-ons. I have helped LSU with two walk-ons on the team now. Two kids on the team now I've helped with sending tape, and they're on the team at LSU. And they've stuck it out. But LSU should have the best walk-on class in the history of the college this coming fall. They should. When you can now take your pick out of 100 kids that would have went to a 1AA school and now they're not, or they don't want to go to a junior college, even though they're qualified. But LSU should get 10 or 15 new walk-ons that are phenomenal. And again, if you're a parent listening to the show, don't look down at walking on. Look at it as an opportunity. Because there's a lot of great benefits to being a walk-on student athlete. The key is your kid getting through it mentally. Your kid has to get through being a walk-on, meaning not on scholarship, but yet you're a part of the team. If you go to a bowl game, you go to a bowl game with your team, you get a ring if you win a championship, just like the guys on scholarship. You are a part of the team. But there's so many pluses to being a walk-on, and I don't think the media ever covers it. And I think college coaches need to make walking on attractive. It's not something they PR job do. And you're starting to see a little bit more of it. Like you're starting to see them recognize kids' birthdays on the internet, which I think is neat. I think it's great. You know, on social media, like, you know, today's such and such birthday in their uniform and they're a walk on. Everybody needs to be felt like they're a part of the team. It's different than it was in the 70s and 80s and 90s and early 2000s. But also don't go to a college just because you think it's the biggest offer. Go because it's the best fit. And if it's walking on to LSU or walking on to McNeese better than going to a D3 school, which could be in Kansas somewhere or, you know, Minnesota, think about the distance. Think about you can be home and do the same thing. You can be near your family. And that's what's happened during this COVID-19. You've got kids that are away from their families trying to deal with it. We talked about it earlier. I tell you what, if I was 18 years old, 19 years old, and I was trying to go to a college, leaving my family, never been away from home, and this happens with COVID-19, and I'm having to stay in my dorm for like 23 hours a day, it'd be tough mentally. No social stuff going on among teams. And if I'm a college coach, I come up with something to make it better. Try and have some kind of social gathering that's safe with a mask, where the guys can at least get together 6 feet apart and talk, you know, instead of just being in an apartment and a dorm room and locked up, you know, just away from everybody. The NFL, I don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl, changing subjects. But I'm going to talk about the national championship football game, Alabama and Ohio State, when we come back. We're going to take a break. I'm picking Ohio State, and I'm going to tell you why. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Let's talk about the national championship. Alabama against Ohio State Buckeyes. I was that crazy person that picked Ohio State to win their playoff game over Clemson. Everybody took the safe route. And there's some others probably that were like me that are listening, but I thought the Buckeyes had the best defense nobody was talking about and the best offense nobody was talking about. They're basically Notre Dame with speed. They have power, and they got guys that are coming on. The good thing about somebody playing just six games or five games, they're starting to become a team, which is not really good for Nick. And Nick's going to have a hard time studying Ohio State because he doesn't have as much film as he's used to. His team's got to buy in that Ohio State is really, really great and nobody's talking about him as being great. Nick hates that. Nick would rather be the underdog or someone getting equal treatment where he can tell his team, you know, nobody thinks we can beat them, and they play hard for him. But Justin Fields, the quarterback for Ohio State from Georgia that transferred from Georgia, he blossomed, and he really impressed me against Clemson. And I think the listeners would agree that when he got hit in the ribs, man, that was a tenacious hit by Clemson. I mean, I thought he was gone. I thought he wouldn't come back. When you see those kind of hits, those quarterbacks usually don't go back in the game. He goes back in the game, and he throws three touchdown passes and has another 180 yards throwing. He was 90% on his completions. And under pressure, he threw three beautiful bombs to receivers, made it look easy. And he looked like Justin Fields from 2019. These young receivers they have are all coming on, kind of like Sean Butte at LSU and Coy. You know, all these Coy Moore at LSU, their true freshman receivers are feeling it now. And their defense is tenacious. I mean, Justin Hilliard, their linebacker, the senior from Ohio, number 47, he's 6'1", about 240. Man, he's a thumper. Their D-line is the best D-line Alabama will face this year. They've got some big guys in that D-line that can move. And by the way, 13 players did not play against Clemson for Ohio State. 13 players. And their run game, Ohio State's run game, is going to be able to compete with Alabama. It really will be. Ohio State is not a good matchup for Alabama. They can actually pressure Mac Jones. They can actually tackle Najee Harris. They've got the big 240-pound linebackers to tackle Najee, kind of like LSU last year when they had Patrick Queen, Phillips, Chasson, Rashawn Lawrence, Delpit, you know, all those great players. Ohio State has that kind of defense. They've got an All-American cornerback. They got a couple All-American D linemen. They've got an All-American linebacker. And their DNs are about 270, 6'4", and they all can run. And by the way, they're getting all those players back for the national championship game. And their offensive line is huge and athletic, like Alabama's. And Justin Fields, he's starting to shine. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm going to predict the score is going to be 38-35. Alabama is going to lose 38-35 to Ohio State. And Ohio State has the ball last or the last two possessions. Kind of like Devontae Watson did for Clemson back when they beat Alabama. They had to come back the final drive and finish Alabama off. It's going to be that kind of game. It's going to be back and forth. You're going to see great plays on defense. You're going to see great plays on both offenses. I don't think Alabama can stop Ohio State. I think Ohio State's found their groove, and they've got the players. And I think Justin Fields is going to be a great pro. I really do think he'll be a great pro. He's a great, he can throw the long ball. He can throw the under intermediate passes. He's tough. That impressed me. That hit against Clemson, him getting up and going back in the game and even looking better, hurting. It's a lot of Joe Burrow type of stuff, you know, at LSU. Remember when Joe got knocked down in the Fiesta Bowl against Central Florida and he got back up and he had a great game. He was mad. Justin Fields looked mad. That's a winner, man. That's the guy I want to play quarterback. That's who I want on my NFL team. I hope everybody enjoyed the show today. We talked about a bunch of stuff. I was going left. I was going right. I was talking about opt-outs. I was talking about what it's like for kids to go through college as an 18, 19-year-old, talking about the Saints, talking about Ohio State beating Alabama, LSU basketball, and one more thing. Alabama in basketball is going to be possibly the team to win the SEC with LSU. LSU's got their hands full this year in basketball. They really do. I mean, look, I thought it was going to be Missouri, LSU, and Arkansas. But now Kentucky has come on. They're 2-0 in the SEC. Alabama beats Florida by 20. Florida was beating LSU by almost 10 the whole game in the second half. And Alabama's way ahead of Florida. Arkansas is very talented. Auburn's going to get better. Georgia is going to be the game tonight against LSU. We'll see what they have. They can't go 1-2 in the SEC. That would not be good for LSU. And Georgia's very talented. Tennessee, they're very talented. It's going to be interesting how this ends up. It's not a cakewalk for LSU to win the SEC without a post guy down low to stop anybody. Alabama proved that. They stopped the center for Florida, who scored 27 against LSU, they had a big body on him that could stop him. So I'm hoping they get Sharif O'Neal back, Shaquille O'Neal's son, who's 6'10", soon for LSU. Or that LeBlanc can improve a little bit face guarding these guys down low. Kind of like Emmett Williams did that greatly, didn't he? Didn't Emmett Williams do a great job of being aggressive at 6'6" playing center? Can you believe that last year? LSU had a 6'6" center in Emmett Williams. I remember when Ricky Blanton was LSU center for Dale Brown at 6'6". He did a great job. It's incredible somebody 6'6" trying to guard somebody 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", or 7 feet tall every game. But LSU was spoiled with Emmett Williams. Emmett was a lot better basketball player than people thought. Now they understand how good he was. Emmett Williams was so aggressive, he would face guard these guys. He knew how to push them out of the, from below the basket. He knew how to keep them off the glass. He would out-rebound these guys 4 or 5 inches taller than him. LSU doesn't have that this year. Somebody's got to take that spot. Sharif O'Neal, LeBlanc, or the big guy, the freshman center from New York. He's got to step up and play a little bit, at least block shots and get rebounds. I hope everybody has a great Wednesday, and we'll see you Friday. Our guest Friday is going to be David Oliver, the head football coach from Sanibel High School, one of my favorite people. He's from Colorado originally. He's got a son coming up that's 6'6", 6'7", who's a tight end. He's a youngster at Sanibel. He's only going to be a junior this coming year. We'll talk about his son and also his team. There's a lot of talented players at Sanibel that are both seniors, juniors, and sophomores. The Gators from right outside of Baton Rouge, Sanibel High School, will be on Friday. I can't wait to get David Oliver on the show this Friday. Everybody have a great Wednesday. We'll see you this Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.